All right.
Hey, Daniel.
Yes.
Just call you barbecue editor. Is that it? Or do you have a...
No, I'm the barbecue editor. That's not fancy enough for you?
That's pretty darn fancy. I didn't know if like you are now the like vice president of smoked meat curation or something like that. Everybody, you're listening to the Day Tripper Podcast, episode 49. And today we are talking about barbecue. The Texas Monthly Top 50 list dropped, and we've got the man himself on the horn, Daniel Vaughn, barbecue editor for Texas Monthly. What's up, Daniel?
Oh, you know, just loving that barbecue.
Always. And of course, we're joined by Mr. Todd White.
Howdy, howdy, folks.
The man who knows a thing or two about barbecue, but doesn't like brisket.
I know.
What?
I'll take that hit.
Yeah, we'll get into that. All right, let's go. I think we should
get into that now. You don't like brisket?
I'm not a brisket fan. I'm sorry. It's just my thing. But I love sausage. I love turkey. I love some ribs, just not brisket.
Slow redemption right here.
Keep going. I've taken him to get the best brisket in the world. We've eaten Franklin together. We've eaten Louis Miller's together. We've eaten Pecan Lodge together. And the man won't budge. It's the most depressing thing. He'll eat it and then he shrugs and goes, it's not turkey. What?
It's not my favorite cut of meat. I love some good ribs. I just don't get excited about brisket.
Okay. Well, that puts you in the minority on this podcast anyway.
Yeah.
I'll take that hit. You know, while you're at it, Chet, go ahead and tell him I don't like Dr. Pepper either. I get it.
Oh, dude, the guy drinks Mr. Pibb and raves.
Okay, so you don't like Dr. Pepper and you go to Mr. Pibb?
I like Mr. Pibb. Yeah. Dr. Pepper is a nice backup.
At some point, there's grounds for treason, and we get to export him. But I don't know when that is.
This is rough right here. All right, so this is basically going to be a conversation between the actual barbecue fans on this podcast.
He can have his sausage party of one over there. Because the guy,
yeah,
the guy loves sausage.
He loves sausage.
All right. Well, anyway, before we get too far off the rails, let's thank our sponsor. New sponsor for the podcast, the city of Tomball, Texas, you know, just north of Houston. Lots going on in Tomball these days. I was just down there for the Rails and Tails Mudbug Festival. I think it used to be pretty sleepy, but it's coming back in a big way. And they just had one of their own barbecue joints make the top 10 on this list, Tejas Chocolate and Craftery. I think
that's
right. Hey, Daniel, you put it on the list. I mean, you know how good this place is.
Yeah, it is incredibly good. And I actually knew about Tejas Chocolate just from their chocolate bars. They were selling them at Central Market, and I tried them there. And they're fantastic. I'm a big bean-to-bar chocolate fan. And so I was really impressed with that stuff. Now, when I heard they started to do barbecue, I just thought, oh, okay, this is a little side business. And,
yeah,
you know, they're probably not going to spend a whole lot of effort in making really great barbecue. But first time I visited was, I don't know, it was about a year ago or so. And they were doing good stuff. It was a place, though, still with potential. And then when we went back for the list, our taster for that area, Eric Benson, who writes for Texas Monthly, he wrote to Pat and I both and just was like, this Tejas place, wow, it's incredible. So I went back to try it. Had the same experience. Pat went back on her own, and then I went back again just to triple check, like, okay, this place is pretty well unknown across the state, unknown to plenty of people in Houston, and here we are vaulting them into the top 10. We got to make sure about this. And
you really got to hate your research,
never
don't
disappointed.
You really have to hate your research, right?
Yeah, exactly. Well, I mean, so you say that, and certainly going out on barbecue road trips is fun. But in the end, I continue to tell people like that my job, the job end of this, is to write. Like, I have to write stuff. I gotta produce stuff for the Texas Monthly website, for the magazine. And so when I'm out double and triple checking, I'm not exactly getting new stuff to write about, right? Yeah. This is all stuff that's going to go in the barbecue issue, certainly, but it's not stuff that I can use to write on the site. So even for a while during the barbecue search, I had to hold off on doing barbecue joint reviews, which I essentially do weekly or at least three a month, because it would really be a tell on whether they were going to be on the list or not. So I had to stop doing that for a while. And so now I'm happy. I'm in the mode of going around and searching again, which is almost a relief.
If you follow your Twitter around barbecue list time and he's like, wait, Daniel's been to this one place four times this month. Like, that is a good tell that he's looking a little closer to it. Do all newbies to the list get that same sort of treatment?
Not all newbies to the list get, three and four visits or anything like that. Every place in the top 50 got at least two visits, and that would be a visit from one of our reviewers and a visit from me. So I made sure to go to all the top 50 before the list came out. And that was so last time around, our last list was 2013. Now, by the time the list was published, I was the barbecue editor for Texas Monthly. But while the list was being put together, I was just a regular old team member. I wasn't an employee. I wasn't none of that. So I was a barbecue taster. So I was only responsible for a small portion of the state. So when the list came out, though, I didn't quite realize, of course, until I was named barbecue editor, like, I'm going to be blamed for all of this. This is all Pat Sharp's doing here. She's the final decision maker, but I'm certainly going to be blamed for all of it. I'm the barbecue editor now. And there were a few places that I had not been on the list. And so it was a little bit embarrassing. And so I remedied that pretty quickly. But I wanted to make sure that that didn't happen this time and that I could personally defend each choice on the list with a firsthand experience.
Well done. That's a lot of dedication. And I think that, like, people can put a lot of glory to your job, and rightfully so. I mean, you got one of the best jobs in the country, without a doubt. But they only see the good, and they don't see the grunt work or the leg work or, you know, the road for you.
Well, that's also kind of a bigger conversation about social media too. Is for the most part, when people are on social media, they're putting out like the best of the best, the fun times they're having. Like, nobody Instagrams a fight with their wife, right? Like, like, hey, we just had an argument. Thought everybody should know. No, here we are, happy on the beach, right? And so, of course, that's the way my social media looks most of the time too. Like, these are the great times out on the road. Now, certainly there's a few kind of rougher barbecue moments that I share as well. But yeah, it is a great job. And it's a great job not only for the barbecue that I get to eat. It's really a great job because of how much of Texas I get to see. And I know that's your life as well. And I'm sure that just as much of the good food that you get to eat out on the road or whatnot, it's really having the excuse to really see this much of Texas is what makes this job great.
Oh, man, you're not lying. That's a good point. And I enjoy the back roads, the little quirky small towns. Like, I like all that. And to be able to make a living doing it, man, we're living the dream.
That's right. And here we are. Dream.
So I want to get in. Well, we started talking about Tomball, and anyway, thank those guys for the support for this.
We'll work all the sponsors.
But now let's get into the list itself, and we kind of already started a little bit, but this one is called the Golden Age of Barbecue, and I love the cover art, man. I know there's probably some people who wanted to see just more like meat shots, but we have so much of that. I thought the cover was really clever. It's like this Golden Age painting of brisket and Big Red as fine wine and all that, man. I thought that was really clever.
Well, thank you. I think our art department did a great job on it too. Here you go, Todd. It's beautiful. That's brisket right there on the cover. I'm showing it.
The fine centerpiece of any Texan banquet. All right. Yes. So, Golden Age of Barbecue. If people have read the article, they understand, but give us the quick primer on why you think we are truly living in the Golden Age.
Well, you know, 2013, 4 years ago when that list came out, a lot of people had thought that barbecue has maybe peaked and that Texas barbecue as a genre was going to be on its way down, was going to lose popularity. It was just kind of this overblown, maybe an overblown fad even. But as we've seen over the last 4 years, it's only gotten better. The quality has gotten better. The amount of new places opening just – they just keep coming, and the ones that do open have a better chance of making good barbecue. So just seeing much sort of positive energy there is in Texas barbecue these days, it's hard to see where the peak's going to be, but I certainly don't think we've hit it. But I think right now we're living in the best time to eat Texas barbecue. And one of those reasons is really about this list as well, is that in this top 50 list, there are some top 50. There are places that I consider some of my favorites around the state that I really enjoy going to that aren't on this list.
And if that was going to be one of my questions, I mean, yeah, how do you differentiate between your kind of personal preference that might be attached to things other than simply the meat that hits the plate, right? Because you and I've had this conversation before about everything that makes a Texas barbecue joint great. And the barbecue itself is certainly the most important factor, but friendly people, history, you know, smoke on the walls, that kind of thing plays into it.
Yeah, that kind of thing plays into it. And certainly just, you know, relationships too, where like the Slow Bone here in Dallas, like this, it's not on the list. It's in our honorable mention list. It's not in the top 50, but it's probably the place I go eat barbecue the most often. I love the food there. I love the sides, the fried chicken, the ribs, smoked chicken. Like they have a great lineup of barbecue and I go there all the time. And they're always saying hi to me when I walk in. So that one specifically, I wanted to make sure somebody else was going there to do that judgment. So Pat Sharp had the Dallas region. She had the Dallas area to cover for the top 50. So she did her, you know, back-to-back-to-back visits all over Dallas and said, you know, Slow Bone is good. It's really good. But here are the places that I think are better. And that it made it a lot easier to allow Pat to come in with kind of her unfettered opinion about all that wasn't based on the fact that this is one of her favorite places to go. It's just, here's how this barbecue tasted against that barbecue. And, I think some others are a little bit better.
Hey, you got to have unbiased. You're a little too close.
Yeah.
And I see, like, you know, on the honorable mention list, how many honorable mentions were there?
Well, I mean, I gave Pat a list of 50 honorable mentions. So there was a top 50 and 50 honorable mentions. Now she did make me knock that down a bit, saying we simply don't have room in the magazine for that. And, you know, does some of it lose its appeal to be in the honorable mention list if we really balloon it up to 50? So, I don't know. I think there's 25, 26. Yeah. Right around there.
Yeah. Something like that. And some of the, you know, like I see Salt Lick is an honorable mention. Am I right?
Yeah, it is. Yeah.
I love going to Salt Lick. One for one, the barbecue doesn't maybe stand up to some of these better places, but that place is about more than barbecue.
Right. The experience of going to the Salt Lick is unlike pretty much anywhere else. I mean, it's enormous. Certainly they can seat a ton of people, but the whole atmosphere there when everybody's rolling in there at dinner time and it's packed and everybody's got to wait and you got live music outside and everybody's got their cooler full of beer and just hanging out with people and enjoying each other's company on a little mini vacation outside of Austin. You know, feels like you're out there in the country when you're just 45 minutes away from town. So
yeah,
it does have that special vibe to it.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. All right. So I'm going to get into the nitty gritty a little bit on logistics. When you go out and you say, I mean, Texas, there's hundreds, maybe 1,000 barbecue joints across our state, thousands. How many barbecue joints do you think we have in Texas?
I would say there's 2,000 barbecue joints in Texas.
2,000.
Yeah, plus or minus. There's about 1,900, they say, that are independently owned and you know, maybe 100 or 200 more that are chain restaurants. The way they define chain is with 10 or more locations. So essentially there's 1900 barbecue joints plus all the Dickies and Bill Millers out there.
Got it. Yeah. And Rudy's barbecue as well, which
yes.
I eat more Rudy's than anywhere else. It's one of my absolute favorites, but I understand why it's not considered for a list like this. They do something very different than, they do at Hayes County Barbecue or some one-off or Miller's Barbecue in Belton. You know, those.
Well, you know, Rudy's though, one of the things I enjoy about them is that when you are going around the state, you have at least, you know, you're going to get a baseline of quality. You're going to get, you are going to get good barbecue, when you roll into a Rudy's, the volume that they do, it's really tough for them to, I think, compete with some of the other folks and really make sure they give you that like incredible slice of brisket every time. But man, going in, get a few slices of smoked turkey and some cream corn. I'm good.
Yeah, exactly. Okay, so 1,900 barbecue joints across the state. How in the world do you go about eating them to judge them? How does that happen, logistics speaking?
Well, you know, as I've been with Texas Monthly for 4 years now, so essentially that time has been spent as a four-year-long scouting mission on building this top 50 that we have right now. So it really starts with me just going around the state and eating barbecue. And that's based on emails that I get, based on, you know, magazine, newspaper articles that I read about good places that people find, just looking around whenever I plan out a trip, scouting around Facebook and Yelp for photos of barbecue, of local barbecue joints, to try and gauge where I'm gonna, you know, which places I'm gonna visit during those trips. So building all of that, and then we all met at Texas Monthly. We all met in late October to give out our marching orders, and from there I had already narrowed down maybe to 250 barbecue joints that were places that I highly recommended everyone visit. And that included places that were must visits for sure. And then, you know, the marching orders were essentially, here's places that you really should try. Here's places you must try. And please, whenever you roll by a place that looks new or interesting, stop in. You know, we want to try and uncover some places.
Man, you know, you guys do a really good job, because every time the list comes out, I'm surprised by a few that I've never heard of, or I've heard murmurings of one or two, you know, hanging out there somewhere. But, and I'm embarrassed to say, one of them's right underneath my own nose in Burn It. I know. I go through Burn It all the time and just hadn't eaten at that one. Man.
Yeah. Payne's Barbecue, great, a great couple run that. They used to run a butcher shop for a while and decided to get into barbecue. And they took over a spot right west of town, which in 2003, the barbecue joint that was in that location was in the top 50. Now that place shut down, and the building sat vacant for a while, and Payne's took it over. And yeah, they were actually one of the last additions to the list, because they were closed temporarily, either for an illness in the family or maybe just closed for vacation. But one of our tasters came back and said, you know, I went by Payne's, it was closed. Should I go back and try it? And I said, yeah, you absolutely should. I really like that place. So they opened back up and, you know, our taster went back out there and tried it. And it was Courtney Bond, who does a lot of the recipes and stuff in the magazine. And she went back out and she's like, yeah, I loved it. Definitely we need to include it. So I was happy to hear that. You know, I say that I love having the people, a lot of people go out and kind of double check me as well to make sure that they're enjoying it too. They enjoy the places that I like as well, but it's so great to get that affirmation of a place that I really like and I'm really kind of pulling for, and
yeah,
to know that somebody else has the same experience.
I am good at my job. Okay, thank you. You need that constant reaffirmation that you actually know what good barbecue is?
Well, that too, and to know that Well, and to know that I'm not just getting some sort of choice cuts or something. I mean, you know, the benefit of reviewing barbecue, there's a built-in benefit as far as being recognized that a barbecue joint can't just go in and throw another brisket on. Like, they've got what they've got, and if they're giving you great barbecue, it's because they can serve or they can cook great barbecue. Yeah. But as we all know, there's certainly some briskets are better than others, and you just hope that that barbecue joint is selling something consistently good, not just they happen to pick out that magic rack of ribs that was perfect for you that day.
You know, yeah. I got a question based on what you just said, and we don't have to go too far off on this, but how much of that really is about the choice of meat that they have delivered or they get or have access to versus how to cook that meat?
Yeah, it makes a huge difference. Like, you can get a huge leg up on the quality of your brisket, especially if you just focus on the grade of beef that you're buying. So there's select grade, choice grade, and prime. Like, those are the three major grades that you're going to get. Select being kind of the lowest end, less intermuscular fat. Choice right there in the middle. And then prime having the most fat in there, and fat equals juiciness and moisture. Just it equals like a good bite of food. And so a lot of places have gone to using prime briskets, and even prime all natural, as they're called, briskets, which means that they aren't fed antibiotics and growth hormones. With that, I think there is a kind of different flavor in the fat. There's a kind of a more butteriness, a little more silky texture, certainly in the prime beef. So if you're going that route, then you are going to have a leg up on somebody who is buying select briskets and cooking those off. Now, I don't think there's a ton of barbecue joints out there that are using select brisket that are in the top 50 list, simply because it's tough. It's tough to cook, and it's tough when you eat it. No matter what you do, a select brisket, especially on the lean side, is going to be a bit dry. And, you know, that's when you walk into a place and you see them slicing it kind of paper thin and piling it on there, they're doing that to basically compensate for the fact that their brisket's probably going to be a little bit tough and maybe a little dry. Slice it thin, it's not going to be tough anymore. Put some sauce on it, it's not going to be dry anymore. Got it. But if you're looking at just a thick slice of brisket on butcher paper, then it better be juicy. And using prime beef is certainly going to get you closer to that a little more easily.
Cool.
Yeah. I mean, meat choice goes into it. And like you said, like, sometimes the briskets, you know, the hand that the barbecue pit boss has dealt is a tough one to work with. And so those guys that can produce, you know, consistent product day in and day out, when you know the briskets they're getting are probably kind of going across the board.
Yes.
That speaks a lot to their talent.
It does. And it also, you know, there's not everybody can afford to buy prime briskets for their business, right?
You got
a small town joint who's just trying to just get by with as inexpensive a product as they can get because they can't charge very much for it. I look at a place like Zeke's Barbecue in Windthorst, you know, another one of those places that I really, really liked, but is not in the top 50 list. And I think maybe one of their handicaps was the fact that they were doing as much as they could with select briskets. But still, it's really tough to compete with the juiciness of a choice or a prime brisket.
Yeah.
Now, I did hear from the folks who run Zeke's, and they have switched to a choice brisket. So I've got to head back up to Windthorst and check things out.
Well, you're going to have to place that one on a map for me. Where is Windthorst?
Windthorst is, it's somewhere in between Dallas and Wichita Falls.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Up there in the great void. If you look at our day tripper map, we have neglected that part of Texas tremendously.
Well, if you want to go to Windthorst for an episode, you can at least go to Windthorst Sausage and go to Zeke's. So there, I got you two of your stops.
Oh, cool. Very good. All right, man. Well, let's get into the actual list itself. Snows is back. Number one.
Oh, yeah. Have you ever heard of Snow's Barbecue?
A time or two. A time, you know, is that up on the Oklahoma border where it actually snows?
Oh, yeah.
No, I mean,
Good old Kerry Bixley and Tootsie Tominets. It was so nice to see them back on the top of the list because they do work so hard. This is a side job for them as well. But yeah, they were our number one place in 2008. They were basically tied for number two in the 2013 list. And here they are right back on top. And that was one, it did take lots of repeat visits from Pat Sharp and I both to check things out.
I'm going to have to go back. I'm sorry. And the company's going to pay for it. Well, did Snows get better or did the competition get worse?
No, Snows got better. Snows absolutely got better. They really? Got better. They got more consistent. And it's amazing because, you know, Pat and I, we traveled together to go eat at most of the, I'd say, you know, we had selected about 15 or so places that had good potential for the top 10. And so we traveled around together to most of those, traveled separately to a few of them as well. And, you know, we kept thinking that it was going to be some new place that was going to be number one. It was either going to be Franklin Barbecue or somebody was going to take them down. Some new kid on the block, like Truth Barbecue or Evie Mays or Killen's Barbecue, something like that. We thought that it was going to be one of those new places that wasn't even around in 2013. And we waited in line at Snow's and we sat down at a picnic table with our tray of food and started eating and we were really just evaluating in our own minds. We weren't really sharing notes or anything to begin with. And, you know, we got through the whole tray and had taken a bite of everything. And we were just like, wow, that was amazing. That was amazing. The brisket was great. The pork steak, the sausage, the turkey, the chicken was amazing. Like just everything. The pork ribs have gotten, they're better than they've ever been there. And so we put all those together and we just looked at each other like, why have we been focusing on all these new guys? Like maybe it's 82-year-old Tootsie Tominets who's going to be bringing it in here. So it took a couple of more visits after that. Pat went out again on her own. I went out again on my own. That was my last, that was my final visit. My last visit of the entire list. I went out to Snow's on a Saturday morning. And it was actually my anniversary, my 4-year anniversary of being with Texas Monthly. It was on April 15th. And I went out to Snow's. I ate a great meal there. And Kerry, he knows what's going on. He knows we're looking for, you know, the next number one, next top 50 and all that. And so he's just like, so how are the top 50 visits coming? You know, trying to get a little information out of me. And I just told him very honestly, I'd already eaten. And I was just like, well, we're done with all that. And he's like, oh, you're already done with all that. I'm like, yep. Yeah, we're done. We're done. Him not knowing that, like, I got done 10 minutes before our conference.
Yeah. It has just been confirmed. Yeah, you're number one, but I'm done. Oh, man. These guys have got to be reeling. I mean, this list – I mean, look what it did for Snow's business, you know, jumping up to number one. I mean, everybody knows making this list is huge for a business. Is that something that you consider as you're going out there? Do you try to separate the consequences of this list from your mind?
We really have to separate the consequences from our mind. Like, you know, you go eat at a place like Truth Barbecue in Brenham, and they are not set up for a lot of business. Like the way it's set up, it is really to get in and out of that building and get through, you know, get up to the counter and pay and get back outside. Like everybody has to pass through the same doorway. Like they are not set up for high volume. That's for sure. So, but we couldn't really take that into account. I mean, whether we put them in the top 10 or not, you know, compare that to a place like Evie Mays in Wolfirth, who they were a food truck and now they're in their big building and they can accommodate a large group of people pretty easily. But still, we didn't really take that into account. You know, a place like Micklewaite in Austin, they're a food truck and, you know, they've certainly seen their lines grow. Snow's has seen their lines grow considerably, even with their past fame being named number one, they've seen this list grow. I'm not sure if the Franklin line has gotten any bigger. It's not like it really could get any bigger. But yeah, it is something that's nice to see where, you're really helping to reward somebody who's been working hard and putting out good barbecue. You know, a place like Harris Barbecue down in Waxahachie, where a lot of locals knew about it for sure, and I had eaten there and really enjoyed it. But I don't think a whole lot of people around the state knew about them. And so to see a place like that have, you know, see a photo of a line of folks waiting for them to open up, is a great feeling to know that, you know, the work that they're doing down there is being rewarded.
Awesome. Awesome. Well, you know, and then with this rise of the new guys, you kind of had to wreck shop on some of the old guys. Now, you did it with the 2008 list a lot by, like, you know, dropping Smitty's out of there, but there was even more carnage this year. So, like, what is it that is causing some of the people who made it last time to drop out? Is it they're just stagnant? They're not keeping up with the trends?
Well, I mean, first off, there's always a lot of turnover with each one of these lists. So there's always a lot of places to drop off. But, you know, there are those places that people expect to see on the list all the time. And well, I'm guessing you're talking about places like Black's Barbecue and Lockhart.
Yeah, well, that's certainly the first one that comes to mind.
Been around a long, long time. First, want to send my condolences out to the family. Edgar Black, who basically turned that place into what it is today, and who's Kent Black's dad, who runs it now, just passed away. But yeah, Black's Barbecue. I mean, they're still serving really good barbecue. They just on the day that I went, the day that I went to verify things, it wasn't as good as some of the others. So,
one off day if it's the wrong day.
Well, and you know, you're not going to get knocked off any of these places. You're not going to get knocked off the list by one bad day. You know, we essentially got it down to a top 70 or so, and we did have to start knocking places off the list, but there, it was basically, it wasn't based on like one bad visit. It was, is this place on the fence or not? Like, did this place receive like the minimum score from our first taster? And if they receive the minimum score and I talk to that taster and they're just like, yeah, it's on the fence, I'm not quite sure, then I would pop in and see how things, see if they were going to be on one side of the fence or the other. And so some of those visits, they just kind of blew me away, and some visits, they it was disappointing. So
makes
that's the way it happened.
That makes sense. That makes sense.
Yeah.
I mean, so just
the other thing too is we don't take into account your sort of barbecue legacy. If it is based on what we tasted from when we met in October till we finalized the list. It wasn't how good was your barbecue in 2015 or how good was your barbecue in 2000. You know, it's how good is your barbecue right now compared to everyone else.
Got it. That makes sense. You got to simplify it. You know, this is the 2017 list. So this is our best as it stands today.
That's
now,
right.
I will bring something up that seems to be happening a little bit, right? I mean, you and I are both keenly aware of what Franklin Barbecue did in 2009 and its ripple effect throughout the world of Texas barbecue. But is that causing a homogenization of barbecue that's getting overvalued? In other words, we expect every place to put Franklin brisket out, and if they don't, we're gonna ding them for it. And so everybody's putting Franklin brisket out, which is good, but it means every place now tastes like Franklin brisket.
Yeah, there's certainly some of that. You know, he's the guy who wrote the book and made all the videos. And so a lot of people are watching that and reading that to determine how they're going to cook their meat. So a lot of stuff is going to taste similar. But I do think there's still quite a bit of diversity in flavors, in technique, in rubs, sauces, all that. I mean, you look at the sort of barbecue they're putting out at a place like Tejas in Tomball. It's not really like Franklin Barbecue. And then you go to a place like Snow's Barbecue, and their number one here they do all of their briskets in an offset smoker, and they do most of their pork ribs in that offset smoker now, which is, you know, the sort of same sort of equipment that Franklin Barbecue uses. But then they wrap their brisket in foil, something that Franklin would never do. And all the rest of their meats are cooked over direct heat and mopped with an old school vinegar mop sauce. So they're doing kind of a completely different way of cooking and a completely different flavor. So while there's certainly a lot of copycats out there, there's still a lot of unique Texas barbecue to be eaten. I would say too that if you want to look at the more like kind of direct copycatting, I think it's more apparent when you go outside of Texas and you see a lot of the places opening up who, let's put it this way. I was up in Ohio over the weekend and I tried some barbecue places and I looked at a few other barbecue places to see if I should go out of my way to try them. And I looked at two different spots in Cincinnati and they both had a quarter sheet tray with butcher paper, lined with butcher paper, with brisket laid out like they were at Franklin Barbecue, and ribs and pickles beautifully placed up in the corner. It looked like it could be barbecue in Paris, France, at the Beast, or in Phoenix at Little Miss Barbecue. Like it looked like all these other places. And then I looked at Ray Ray's Hog Pit, which is a food truck up in Columbus, and their food didn't look like anything like that. Their food looked like kind of their own style. They do ribs, and then they season their ribs beforehand, and then when they cut their ribs, they season them afterwards as well, and they get served in a paper tray lined with foil. And they're doing their own thing. They're doing their own style, and they're not trying to copycat. And that I really appreciated about them, and it's one of the reasons I went to visit there, because I wanted to see what their own unique style was. So, yeah, there are a lot of copycats out there, but I would say the copycatting around the country outside of Texas is a little more apparent than the strict copycatting within Texas.
It doesn't surprise me that other folks want to be like Texas, let's be honest, whether that's barbecue or any other way.
You go to North Carolina these days and it's not that hard to find a smoked brisket. Crazy.
Man, what starts here changes the world.
That's right.
To quote my alma mater's tagline. Man, okay. So, like, that gives me some sense of comfort. But recently, I found myself scratching my head because I've had two different direct heat brisket barbecue joints. And I really liked both of them. One was Big Boys in
Sweetwater.
Sweetwater.
Uh-huh.
And the other was Mumford's in Victoria.
Yeah.
And both of those places, you know, direct heat brisket, which you end up with a very different product. And I'm slow to judge a place and say, well, that's not as good as Franklin, because I take a step back and I say, well, what? If I think barbecue is more art, then there's plenty of room in my barbecue understanding for these guys. Because, gosh, in Mumford's, they're using their family recipes that they've done for over 100 years mm-hmm. on their brisket. And that right there makes me love them more. I just have to think of it as a different technique completely that's going to create a different product completely. And at some point, maybe even brisket isn't apples to apples.
Well, especially in the case of Big Boys with their brisket. I mean, Galen Martha is the owner and pitmaster there, and he'll tell you straight off, if you're ordering fatty brisket, he's going to tell you this is not what you think fatty brisket is. Like he suggests that you order the lean because he thinks the lean shows off his cooking method the best, and that the fatty brisket, the way that they cook, it just doesn't melt the fat quite as it doesn't melt the fat similarly to an offset smoker. And so he likes to use his fatty end for chopped beef and serve the lean end to sliced beef. So,
yep.
You know, if I hear a suggestion from a pitmaster like that, I'm going to go with their suggestion. I want them to, I don't want to be eating the barbecue in a way that they don't normally serve it to people. But you're right. It does. It is a bit apples to oranges. But, you know, I went into Big Boys and I went in right before our taster went in, actually. So, you know, I went in and I got like the full gamut of everything they had to serve. And the pork ribs were spot on, right as I had expected them to be. The country ribs, they weren't as good as they'd been in the past. Same with the brisket. It was a little dry and wasn't as good as I'd had in the past. The turkey was crumbling apart. And I said, "Galen, what is up with this turkey? It tastes like yesterday's turkey." And he's like, "Oh, that is yesterday's turkey." Yeah. And so it's like there is a balance between, you know, it's tough to find that balance between being profitable and making the top 50, but, you know, you can't make the top 50 on yesterday's turkey.
Yeah. Well said. But I really enjoyed Mumford's. I really did. Not just because of the guys that were running the kitchen, but they serve it to me and they say, "This is the way my family's been doing it for 110 years. And you go, "Whoa, who am I to judge this?"
Yeah. Well, you know, again, that's just another one of those comparisons. Like they were on the list in 2013. They were kind of one of the last additions to the list in 2013. And, you know, this time around, our taster in that area just liked some others better. But you're right. It is, you know, it's tough. But, I mean, the other part is, all right, let's look at a place like Tony DiMaria's in Waco.
Yeah, well, I love that place. I lived on Tony DiMaria's in law school.
The DiMaria's have been – they've been serving barbecue in Waco since like 1919. Started off over at where Jasper's is right now and moved around a bit. I wrote a full history of the family. I did a ton of background history into when they came to the U.S., how the founders were related, which ended up being brothers, which the current family didn't even know. cool. And so it was really satisfying to go through and do all that research to see how they got to the point of cooking barbecue the way that they do today. And they put the brisket in a big vat of beef broth that is warm, that is heated in the pit. And it starts off cooking in that. And then they move it up onto a shelf on the pit and let it finish smoking on there to get a bit of a bark. So that's the way that they have cooked briskets for a long, long time. But if I send somebody into Tony DiMaria's and say, "This is a top 50 barbecue joint, get yourself a platter of ribs and brisket," they're going to say, "What is this? Like, what is this brisket? Like, this sliced brisket is just not right." And it's because that sliced brisket is meant to be eaten on a slice of white bread with some pickles and onions, with a slathering of some of their hot sauce, their homemade hot sauce that sits on the table and dipped in the gravy that they au jus that they get from that big beef vat, right?
Yep. Yep. Like
that's the way it's served. That's the way it's meant to be eaten. And that's really good, but it's not, you know, it's just not going to be on the same. Like if you have to go through all of those steps, it's a real challenge to put a place like that in the top 50. It was challenging enough. Like I've gotten enough feedback just writing an article about them and praising this sort of Italian dip sandwich. I've already had people going, you know, writing back and saying, "Oh, I went and tried their brisket and it's not very good." I'm like, "Well, did you eat it the right way?" But most people, they see a name on a list and they go eat there and they get the brisket and the ribs. And if it's not good, then they tell you you're an idiot. When maybe my review said, "Please, please just go in and get the chicken and the ribs. Like those are the two good things on the menu. Everything else is terrible." Still, nobody reads that. They see a name on a list. They go in, they get brisket. And if it's no good, then I'm an idiot.
Right.
I mean, I wouldn't call it hate mail. Just I get some email messages that are, they just kind of make me laugh. One of them was a guy from Lubbock wrote in and said, "Oh, so your barbecue editor's not from Texas. Your barbecue list sucks."
Yeah, period.
I wrote back to him. I think I surprised my editor a bit because I wrote back to him and blind copied all of our editorial team, which is the normal way that we write back to any of the readers, any of the reader mail. And I just said, I'm glad you read my love letter to Texas Barbecue. Go out and eat as much barbecue as I have around the state, and you can write one of your own. And look forward to reading it.
Man, you got a good job. You got a tough job, man. And you get to take the hate mail from all of us. Yeah.
And I didn't even tell you that I had to postpone this like a half hour because I had to go in and get my cholesterol checked with my doctor. So
I loved it when you took this job. And I think, you know, that people asked, how's your cholesterol? And you just say controlled.
That's right. It's under control.
Under control. That's all you need to know.
Uh-huh.
Well, man, obviously the world loves your work. We get pumped when the new lists come out. They give us road trip ideas. They help me, you know, do another leg of research for the show. So thanks for all you do, Daniel, man. You know, I'm sure there's some barbecue joints that are too secret to make the list. So I won't ask you to divulge those. We'll just know that they're there. They're so good that they can't even be on the list in the public.
Well, I'm thinking you and I could do some sort of day trip or special. We'll do a 50 barbecue joint road trip. We'll hit all 50 together, and you can give me your feedback. How's that?
In 30 minutes, we'll have about 45 seconds per barbecue joint. Let's do it.
Sounds good. All right.
Hey, dude, thanks so much for chatting with us.
Oh, thank you. It's always fun.
Yeah, always. All right, guys. So if you got questions, you can email Daniel. He's on all the social media. Just call, yell at him for not putting your top one on the top 50 list. If you need day trip or swag while you're out touring Texas, make sure you hit up our general store. I'm going to plug that. And then also, can't do the podcast without our sponsor, City of Tomball. Go try Tejas Chocolate and Craftery. I'm telling you, super good. It was number 6 on the list, I believe. Right, Daniel?
Right.
Number 6?
Yes.
That's incredible. Incredible. All right, guys. And next time we'll be talking Texas again with travel writer Jordan Briel from Texas Monthly. That's Via Con Dios for me. We'll see all y'all later.